is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 152 of
How Married Are You? Okay, my name but Belief, this is Event, and we've been married
12 years.
Live in California, we got four kids. Relationships scary, it's very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask how married are you? Every Tuesday and Thursday, shoddy. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
1, 2, 3, and.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Okay. So, before we started this podcast, I was like, Glenn, what time did that Negro get in our bed last night? Which Negro am I talking about? I'm talking about the youngest one. The one named Uzziah Jake and Edon Henry. He, you know, Uzi is playing games.
Uh-huh.
Like none other. Like, I feel like he's actually more manipulative and, like, sneaky than I think we all give him credit for or even aware of. Everything he does is an intentional action. And so even to the fact, like, one night he was like, Mom, are you gonna I want you to go to bed. I was like, okay. Yeah. And come to find out, I think he wants me to go to bed so that he can come get in my bed and be welcomed with open arms, because I'm more likely to welcome him in my bed if the light's already off and I'm already asleep, right? Versus if I'm wide awake and, like, getting ready to get into something. Anyways, last night, Uzi had his shenanigans. He came into my bed, and I was like, ugh. And that, mind you, right before Uzi came into my room, the two oldest were in my room all over me. And I was just like, y'all don't get out of here. Oh, my gosh. But anywho, so I had just gotten rid of them. And then maybe like 5 minutes later, Uzi comes popping up in my face. And Uzi is the type of kid that don't say nothing. He just starts moving. So he climbs into the bed, climbs over me, gets in, gets all nestled in and stuff. What's happening?
It was scratching the table.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Gets all nestled into the sheets, into my bosom, all the things. And I'm like, Uzi, it's bedtime. He goes, I want love.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, how do you not give somebody love when they say that? So then I was like, okay, I'm going to set a timer for 3 minutes. And then you have to go to your bed. Did that. Timer went off. He held his end of the deal. We did a pinky promise that he was going to stay in his bed.
Oh.
He was going to stay in his bed. If you follow me on Instagram, this is probably old news to you. Because I shared this story on Instagram last night. And I said, okay, who thinks he's going to stay in his bed? And man, the internet aunties, they are rooting for that kid. And then.
They don't know him.
Then this morning, Glenn's alarm goes off at 4. This is long. Sorry. So sorry. Glenn's alarm goes off at 4:30 a.m. He gets out of bed. My back is turned to Glenn's side of the bed. And I feel something. I turn over and it's Uzi. And it's not just Uzi, but it's wide awake Uzi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he ain't tired. He ain't sleepy. He's just wide awake. And I'm like, you didn't keep your promise. We pinky promise. Anyways, he starts to nestle. Because apparently he was nestled into you.
Yeah.
And so.
He was all wrapped around me. Yeah. We were holding hands.
Oh, my gosh. And so now he's, like, getting into my crevices. And it was sweet or whatever. But eventually he goes, I'm going to go back to my bed. I was like, okay, that's great. He leaves. He comes back.
Oh, he came back.
He came back. Mom, will you tuck me in? I get out of bed. This is probably like 5:30 a.m. Get out of bed. Tuck him in.
Ugh.
Come back to bed. Mind you, I was supposed to be out of bed at 5 a.m., but he just messed up my whole, like, sleep pattern and everything. Then he ended up staying in his bed after that. Oh. He didn't come downstairs until probably 10:20.
Yeah.
And I was like, must be nice. Must be nice because those other kids wasn't,
I don't know why you let him sleep.
Sleep
that long.
No, because he's not gonna nap.
Well, the thing is, he's gonna be up tonight. He gonna do the same bull crap tonight. Yeah, we might have to give him a melatonin. Well,
two melatonin.
No,
is what he
no
needs.
Not two.
I gave him a melatonin last night.
Yeah, I don't be giving him melatonin no more.
What?
I don't
why?
Give none of them melatonin. When I put him to sleep, I don't give none.
The
of
boys don't get it, but Anaya, and I will say, I did give Anaya two last night, and she was knocked out.
Yeah, it's a sleep aid. They don't need sleep aid. They just need to run around a little bit. So So when he came into bed, though, I just looked at him because I heard him before I saw him. And I just heard him kind of breathing. And I just opened my eyes and he was standing there. And he was doing that, like, you know how he does that slouch over? Yeah. I just opened up the covers and let him in.
Yeah.
And it just was like, because I'm not going to be like, go back to bed. I'm not, I don't got time for that. And I saw it was only like 3:40, so I know only had like a...
You only had a few minutes to
yeah,
sleep.
Yeah, so he gets in the bed, and he's like holding my hand. He's like clapping. He's doing like stuff, and I'm putting my hands like trying to stop him. And he's like just, you know, he's doing all this stuff, you know.
But he is very intentional because even the other day, yesterday, I was like, Uzi, he wanted some plantain chips, and I put them in a bowl for him. And he was like, Mom, are you going to go upstairs? And I was like, why do I need to go upstairs?
Yeah.
And he was like, Mom, are you gonna go? And he was trying to take his plantain chips into the other room and eat in there. And he knows I don't allow
you
that.
You just took my phone.
Sorry. That was yours? That was my story. You weren't even there.
No, I was trying to go into my part of the story. Thing. You took two whole things.
Y'all.
Anyway.
He's getting on my nerves right now. Not you, the child.
Okay, I just had to understand. Yeah, he's tripping.
But I love him.
All right. Yeah, love all of them. All right, let's talk about it. What we got today?
You're not going to do your chocolate baby story?
That was it. I was trying to do mine, and you cut me off to tell me about the chips. I was talking about my part of the story from last night. Anyway, go ahead. Do nobody want to hear that 5 minutes of chocolate baby story time?
They love those kids.
Anyway.
Anywho. We last week we were talking about friendships and navigating friendships. We had a couple of comments. I don't know if I need to read them again. I don't know if y'all want to tell me what you want me to do or not, but they're basically talking about how do you make friends in adulthood? How do you keep friends? How do you navigate friendships ending or are you growing apart from them or whatever?
So today we're going to talk about how we make, first thing we're going to talk about is how we make friends as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yvette last week was talking about how she walks up to black women and goes, hi.
I don't sound like that, first of all.
Yeah.
I just be like, hello. How
no,
are
you're not. You're not that deep. It's kind of like, hi. And it's kind of like you have to keep it going before they think you're a stalker. So you're like, hey, hi.
I'm just direct. With Chanel, I was direct.
Yeah. I think it's cute. I would say that from my experience, you have to fit in a certain bucket for me. So that means that you have to be advancing me personally in some way. So there's, you know, a few different buckets I work in. So like I do music, I do film, I do a lot of consulting. And those are kind of like my three areas. Oh, and like fatherhood stuff, right? So like family stuff. So if you're not in those three, four areas, then I'm kind of like, I'm trying to bridge the gap and see where we can connect. And if it's too far of a jump, I'm not going to make it because what that's going to do is introduce me to something that I'm not necessarily, I don't really have time for. And that sounds crazy because I was sitting here on Twitter and somebody I know who's been a part of like my life for a while, he collects baseball cards. And I was like, and he like drives cars and he has like a lot of hobbies. Like, I think, and he's white, like some...
What does that have to do?
Because I feel like white men play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they work, but they play hard. Mm. They play hard, they work hard, they play hard. You know what I'm saying? That's just from my synopsis, I'm like, they have something to do
mm-hmm.
with their time.
Yeah.
And all my time, and I'm not sure if this is just a... It's not, I don't think it's a black man thing, but it's just like some people who come from poverty, like believe that they don't have time for play. Mm. So they just focus on work. And if you don't even fit in the work bucket in some way, somehow, then you're not getting no time for me. That's how I seriously feel.
Interesting.
And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a problem. I don't think that is a strength or anything I'm glorifying. I'm just saying that this is how it is with me. So that's how it fits for me. But yeah, because the last time the ladies asked questions, they said, I'm in a shift where I need new friends, and it's kind of daunting and scary to start, you know, friends from scratch, even though my current friends no longer align with my life, wife, mom, spiritually growing. And another thing is that, like, so if we talk about, like, making friends, that's one thing. But then it's like a season of life where it's like you have to live together before you start like holding each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not into friendships that don't hold me accountable.
Yeah.
And then I think right before this, you and I were talking about people, like some people, I'm their friend.
Yeah.
But they're not my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who usually make withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make too many deposits.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, and most of these people I pay, you know what I'm saying? I make withdrawals and they make mostly deposits in me, right? And so they're my friend, but I'm not theirs. Like they're not gonna tell me anything that's none of my business. I'm kind of like, look, man, my wife, or this, and I did, and my mom. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking, and so I just need somebody to lean on. So, yeah.
It's interesting because I don't know if you said this in the podcast or if it was Pillow Talk, but you were like, Yvette, I think you just need to make a list like I made a list for you. Mm. I think you said it at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I actually took heart to that. I feel like that is something that I might need to take some time doing, is like listing some of the things I'm looking for in my relationships and just praying that the Lord would create divine appointments for these people to like show up in my life. But yeah, I definitely am one of those people. I think I'm coming to a place where I'm truly starting to embody the whole idea that on the other side of fear is freedom. Where it's like, dude, okay, I might be afraid to like be embarrassed or rejected or whatever if I reach out to this person, but who knows what could come of doing that. If I, you know what I mean? Like just do it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that only you know what you're looking for. And we were talking about it and I was like, man, you're on a mission to find something I can't see. Because I remember at one point, you know, we had talked about this before during our, like, long extended break. We had went to Atlanta to go look for a new place to live. Because Yvette was like, yeah, black people. And I was kind of like, okay, you know. And I was like, well, who are we looking for? You know, because I'm not necessarily looking for that. And so that's really difficult. And I felt really bad because I'm kind of like, I don't want to leave you hanging, but I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I also wasn't really reliant on my local community either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like not as much as I am now. But yeah, I think if you make that list, you'll be able to identify who your people are, you know? Go ahead.
I was going to say, too, I feel like finding friends is kind of like finding a therapist. I think sometimes people feel like, oh, my goodness, I've invested like 10 sessions with this therapist. I'm stuck now. And I don't believe that. I believe that if the therapist is no longer a good fit for you, then you need to move on and find a new therapist so that they can help you. And I think the same is true for friendships. Like sometimes we invest time in new people and we come to realize, wait a minute, this ain't my people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like even still, like if you're, I feel like don't get discouraged by the time you put into a certain person to come to find out that this isn't for you. Don't let that stop you from even doing it again, you know, like finding new friendships. At one point I had signed up for Bumblebee. Remember that?
Oh my gosh. Bumble.
Yeah, one of my friends told me it's not just for dating. It's like you can find friends on there. And I told Glenn, I hadn't created an account yet. I just downloaded the app and Glenn was like, no.
I was like, she finna get turned out here, man. Like, you need to chill.
I don't know. I would really love to know if anyone has experience with Bumble. They also have another app that I deleted off my phone.
I think that's like, to me, like that is what like, where I'm kind of like, all right, your naivete is going to get you in trouble here. Remember that time that dude asked for your number, you gave it to him?
Yes. We don't have to go back to that.
I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm talking about. It's kind of like,
mm-hmm.
You never know. These might be swingers. Just be looking for it. These might be the, Remember, Mother God, people.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You just never know who's who out here. And you just like, you know, you're not that. Your network is popping enough that you can find your people.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little drive, but you can find your people.
Yeah, it's not a little drive. It's a big drive.
And then we went to San Diego a couple nights ago.
Oh, okay.
And we saw a bunch of black people down there.
We did.
We went to Kev on Stage show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of people there.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool to see y'all too, man. Those are you guys who came up.
But they're
hi.
All in San Diego.
No, they're not.
Who did you talk to that was not in San Diego?
The dudes who was behind us, they were talking. I was eavesdropping. I was trying not to.
Where are they from?
They were like, do you ever come down here?
Oh, they talked to you?
No. They were talking to each other. I told you I was minding their business. And I was saying, they were like, do you come down here? He was like, nah, I don't come down here. But the whole point was that whether or not they're from Temecula, like, how far away, like, what's the radius that you want them to be at?
Like, I want them to be no more than a 30-minute drive.
Okay.
If we both need to meet each other, we can meet 15.
And how many people are you looking for?
I don't know. I'm not looking for a bunch of people. I'm just looking.
How many?
What do you mean? I'd like at least two solid people.
Two solid people. That's awesome. Yeah, you don't need to move out of state for that.
Anywho, there's another app called Peanut. It's for moms. I downloaded that one. I did create an account on that one, but then I deleted it because, again, it wasn't the type of people I was looking for. There needs to be an app for black moms.
Maybe you should create it.
I should. Somebody out there. I just gave you an idea. I don't even need commission. Just create it and then send it to me.
Mm,
okay?
Mm, mm, mm.
But we did get an email that I felt like was appropriate within the topic of friendships. Definitely want this one to be anonymous.
Are you tired?
I am tired. So last week, me I too. Spent the week taking care of sick children. And yesterday, I started feeling the congestion in my throat and stuff. So I'm drinking some tea, which I made my own medicine ball from Starbucks from home.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty proud of. It tastes really good. Anywho, this email is from no one that needs to be named. And I need to make this bigger, even though I have my glasses on. She said, I don't know if this is an area that you have experience in, but I would love to hear your insight. I'm somewhat of a sibling friend to a married couple. The couple is experiencing some really hard times right now and are close to calling it quits. I feel horrible because I so love them both, but I feel stuck in the middle. Although I've offered nothing but prayers, I feel each in their own way wants me to pick a side. I tried to go about time with them as usual, but always yields me to the same place of hearing what's happening. So although it's years invested, I decided to distance myself as best I can. Now I feel like I'm going through my own sort of divorce. I know it doesn't equal what they're going through, but I don't want to invalidate my feelings. I have done life with them because they are trying like spiritual siblings. I think she means they're kind of like spiritual siblings to me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever experienced something like this? If not, how do you think you would handle it if they were one of your friends? You want me to go first? This is a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she is talking about her relationship, I didn't mute my mic.
Yeah, you muted mine.
Oh Lord. when she's talking about the relationship, I had a particular couple come to mind, and I was thinking about how I would navigate it. And me being who I am, I would probably try to just be both of them. Like, you know, like be friends with both of them, but just keep it separate and create boundaries around what we are allowed to talk about and what we aren't allowed to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's how I would pursue it. I would just let them know flat out, like, hey, I want this relationship. I love you. We have been doing life together for years. However, I'm not going to sit here and like do this whole, I'm not going to be in between your relationship with so-and-so. And, I don't want to like give them like the things that are off topic, you know, because there is a part of it where you want them to have a safe place to express the hurt and the pain that they're feeling from the loss of the relationship. At the same time, though, you don't want them to speak negatively on the other person or to bring you into that type of banter. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's hard because it seems like that's the only thing. If I was going through a breakup like that, a divorce, that's all I would want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all. And if I can't talk to it about you, then I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what are we going to talk about? You know, the sun, the weather.
Yeah.
The Padres.
Go for a hike. Go do fun
and talk
things
about what?
And get them distracted.
Get distracted.
Help them be distracted. I mean, like, hopefully they have another place besides you to land. But yeah, eventually, like, if you are that person, then you're going to have to choose which one you're going to stick with. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully the other person doesn't take it too detrimentally. But, yeah.
So I want to talk about that because one thing I did realize is that that is what a friend is for to me. Like, they are a soft place to land.
Mm.
And I was talking about this with Yvette the other day because I was like, you know, your responsibility as a friend is to be, or not even as everybody's responsibility, but you should have one person where you can land well. And you might want to be able to, like, if you're this person who's trying to figure out how to navigate this, you might want to be someone who points them in the right direction on where they can land.
Yeah.
One thing I was talking to Yvette about, and I was just saying, okay, because I love to have confrontational conversations when it's necessary, but I don't like having them on deaf ears or people who can't hear me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, like this one individual was trying to explain to me how they wanted to have a conversation with me, and they were ready finally after years of, you know, me just kind of like being like, I'm not dealing with you. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't have anywhere to land, right? They don't have any accountability. They don't have any friendships that tell them the truth. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, if I tell you this information, it's going to make it harder on me because you're going to try to land here.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm an explosive device for you to land on, you know? So I just looked at him and was like, I understand that you think you're ready, but you're not ready until you can honestly have someone to have this information with, talk to someone with. Even if I do have rough conversations with people, I'd be like, yeah, can you bring your wife?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you and your wife come by? I just want to make sure I'm not being taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do get emotional about what I'm saying, she's able to say, that's not what he said. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if both of y'all are crazy, at least y'all could be crazy together. If you know what I'm saying? That's how it goes. But that's important to me.
Yeah.
And I think that as friends, there's so many different uses for like people. Not to say that you should be trying to use everybody or someone always has a function.
Mm.
But for me, and I'm just so ridiculously logical in this way about people, and it's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing either. You know what I'm saying? But like, if I can't be honest with you, then I can't consider you a friend.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. That's a really good, barometer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love having the friends I have currently. I can be very honest.
And they keep coming back.
Yeah, I mean, because they're honest with me too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, yeah, man, you need to knock that off. That's corny. You know, you need to stop being scared. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're stronger than that. Knock it off. You know, when you go and knock it off, who you think you are? Like, these are the type of conversations we have with each other. And it's not always like that. It's a lot of jokes and fun, but mm-hmm. it's productive. And I think that I need less productivity in my friendships.
Mm.
You know?
More fun.
I need more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. One person that's always fun is Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that dude, he can't not be fun,
mm-hmm.
entertaining, sweet, Like, he's just an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, shout out to Christian, man.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, I think we're all in the same boat as far as relationships or adult friendships are concerned. If you look at the comment section from our last podcast episode where we were kind of talking about this, I feel like there are a lot of people that related to the struggle. And there were also some people that are kind of like, I just don't have time for friends right now.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe that we are meant to do life without friends. And I think we are meant to do life with friends beyond our significant others.
100%.
I feel like one time when we were in couples therapy, there was one session that Glenn couldn't make it to. And so we were just talking, and my therapist, I think I might've shared this one there on one of the podcasts, but she was like, you know, it's like you're missing certain things from those outside relationships because some of my relationships have been on the rocks, you know? And she's like, you're looking for Glenn to fulfill all those things now.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's not necessarily realistic or practical or even fair. And so I do believe that we are responsible for finding relationships that fulfill us in other ways than what our spouse can. So, yeah, man.
Yeah. I got a friend in town now who, you know, we're working on music stuff, and he is describing me and all the things that I write about normally. And he was like, yeah, these are all the things that you are and have been, but we don't see a lot of where you're going, you know?
Ooh.
And like where you are on the other side, you know what I'm saying? He's like, here's some things about you I never hear you say about. I never hear you talk about, you know what I'm saying? And it was like interesting to see his perspective. And it's like, it's dope because I do feel known. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like accountability is, I can't escape that,
mm-hmm.
You know? I feel good about that, you know? And that's not always the case, mm-hmm. You know, with a lot of friendships and a lot of people in life. And so, man, I feel very blessed, you know?
I like what you said. I actually thought about this right before we started recording about how everyone just has a desire to be known.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be known, and they want to be known without filter.
Or having to explain themselves.
Yeah. And so I think that's what a lot of us are longing for, whether we want to admit it or not. I feel like there were a couple of people in the comment section in the last episode that were kind of like, you know, too prideful to admit it. but I think that we all just have this really deep desire to be known. And the beautiful thing about that is, like, if you're a believer, you have that relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that we all desire to have that with someone that we walk side to side with here on earth side. But yeah, I love that. All right, babe, how married are you?
I'm so married. Does it count? I don't know if it counts.
If you're about to say what you're saying, I don't know if it does, but I'll take it.
I'm scared to say it now.
Go ahead and say it, baby.
I'm so married that I followed you to get that premiere seating at that comedy show.
What?
Yvette finessed herself into VIP seats.
I did not. I don't think those were VIP.
Yeah, they were.
Listen, y'all. First of all, that whole experience was something. Like, I've never been to a comedy club.
She didn't know the rules. She'd just be doing whatever she wanted to do. And I'd be like, you can't do that. There's just rules.
And Glenn tried to make it seem like I was doing it because I'm somebody. And I don't even feel like I'm somebody. I feel like no matter how many followers I have on Instagram or what platform I have, I would have done the same exact thing. I am who I am through and through, no matter what. Listen to me. They sat us down in the dark crevices of the club, And it's when a club. You look at the when you look to the stage, there's this huge beam just right in my line of sight. And then the people sitting in front of me are tall as I don't know what. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay to sit in the club or to watch a show and not be able to like see or enjoy it in that way. So I was looking around. I was looking around for seats. And the guy was basically saying, what he said was, you know, this is what he said. He said, you know, we have to fill it in from front to back, you know, because we don't want any empty seats. Let me finish the story. We don't want any empty seats, you know, gaps or whatever. We have to make sure everybody gets in. Totally understand it. You want to keep people together. You want to fill in the seats. Understood. However, we're just two people. I'm sure there's another couple here that's trying to get a seat who's taller than us. We are short people. Now, so I was like, okay, I'll stand up and wait. Like, I'll just wait because I wanted to sit. There were some bar height tables. And I don't know if you know this, but that back section didn't even get full like that. Anywho, there were some tall tables. And I was like, I just want to sit in those ones. But then I came when I stood up and I was waiting, I saw seats. And I was like, well, why can't, no one's sitting here. Let me sit here. And then he was like, he asked a girl and she was like, yeah, but those there's four seats. There was like four women that were together and were like one seat. And then those women came in and like, yeah, go ahead and sit right there. And so I got a seat where I could see.
Yeah. She finessed herself into seats.
How was it finessed?
Front. Because, babe, when it's like order, like so we were coming in and he was trying to line us up in order, like sit us all in the like where we were supposed to sit. And as soon as we got there, Yvette introduced herself to the people next to us and just started looking around. It's like, I don't want to sit here. I don't want to sit here. I want to move over there. I. And I'm just like, it's not, there's other people here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm like, they won't be, whoever sits in these seats won't be able to see either.
Here is my philosophy in life. Closed mouths do not get fed. I will forever ask. And all they can do is tell me no. And if they tell me no, I have the choice to ask again until they say yes.
Oh, man. I
know. Mean, I don't think it was that big of a deal, but I appreciate you following me.
Don't do that.
Don't do what?
That was very condescending.
How was it?
Don't play with me. You know what you're doing right now.
I don't know what I'm doing.
But I appreciate you following me.
Because that's your How Married Are You story.
Yeah. Yeah, I was embarrassed because I know who we are, and I felt like people were watching us finesse ourselves into a higher situation. I didn't like that.
If you were there at the club and a couple of y'all introduced yourselves, let us know. Did we finesse it? Were you looking at us like
you about to get your feelings hurt?
I feel like. I mean, honestly, I don't feel like I did anything wrong.
I don't think you did either. I just was like, yo.
You were uncomfortable. It's not something you would have done.
Nah.
And
I just take the seats.
I respect that.
Move my head around the little pole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If that were the case, I probably would have wanted to leave sooner. And I feel like we actually, like, because when we got in there, I think we were feeling like, I was feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I'll just, you know, whatever. But then I actually ended up laughing and enjoying the show.
Oh, it was super great.
It was a good show. If you are...
Man, look go see Kev on stage live.
Yeah. Go look at his...
Tahir and Melanie, they did amazing.
Yeah,
you guys are so incredible.
Yeah.
And babe, how married are you?
You were about to say that's how married you are?
Yeah.
You want to end this?
I'm so tired.
I'm so married that my husband is now vegan. And yesterday I made him a vegan lunch.
So good.
And I put my heart into it. I didn't just, you know, do some old, here's some vegetables.
Yeah, you put your heart into it.
I actually, like, flavored it.
I appreciate that.
I did a good job. And I tasted it. It was good. Why are you looking like that?
Is it not normal for you to put your all into it? Do you not try normally?
No. See, now you're trying to... Now you're trying to play me. I will not. Listen here.
And I seasoned it, y'all.
No. I just mean I was, like, really... I do be putting my heart into my food. You know what the kid said the other day to Diana? Diana watched her kids while we went to the comedy show. And I don't know how we got on the topic of cooking or whatever. And the kids were like, yeah, like my mom and dad. Like, you know, some things my dad does really well and some things my mom does really well. And so Diana asked them for examples.
Oh, wow. What did they say?
And so it was Raya doing most of the talking. But the kids were kind of in agreement with them. And they're like, yeah, my dad makes really good burgers. Uh-huh. And then she's like, so what does your mom make?
What did they say?
They said, my mom does a really, and my, oh, he goes, this is how they said it exactly. My dad does really good at making burgers. And my mom's, you know, not so hot. And then he goes, my mom does really good at making the oatmeal. And my dad, you know, not so hot. Mm-hmm. That was how he said it. And mm-hmm. I was like, what a butthead. I can cook. There's other things I can make besides oatmeal.
Was, okay.
What?
Nothing.
What?
I'll ask you after the podcast.
and that's just how married we are.